Yeah, just a reminder, everyone, when you're talking to take your mic off mute. So the light turns green, and then when you stop talking, turn it back on mute.
Let's bring this September 11th, 2023 meeting of the Clark County Railroad Advisory Board to order. I don't see anybody that we don't know already in attendance, unless there's some online that we don't know.
We have a few people online, including Kevin McDowell, the prosecuting attorney, deputy prosecuting attorney for the county. We have Nancy Halverson, Jackie Lane, Chad Eichen, Amber Carter, Eric Fuller, Kim O'Hara, and Maggie Dirk.
Okay. Maybe we should run through the line then, I guess. Introduce yourself, Kevin.
Kevin Tyler, Clark County Public Works, Parks and Lands Division.
Danielle Cowley, Parks and Lands Division.
Kent Cash, Port of Vancouver.
Nathan Bruce, PBJR.
Neil Chambers, Railroad Advisory Board.
John Hanson, Railroad Advisory Board.
Jim Malinowski, Railroad Advisory Board.
And I'm Daniel Weaver, the chair of the Railroad Advisory Board.
Steve Jagielski, landowner.
Doug Auberg, BYCX.
Randy Williams, BYCX.
Glenn Young, Clark County Council.
Okay, and then online, let's start with Kevin McDowell.
And this is Kevin McDowell from the prosecuting attorney's office.
Nancy? We lost your audio there, Nancy. Sorry, we're not picking up anything from you. We'll go to somebody else to try again in a minute. Maggie Dirk?
Hi, Maggie Dirk with the City of Vancouver.
Thank you for joining us. Jackie?
I don't know if you can hear me. It looks like, oh, okay.
Yep, we got you.
Jackie Lane, the latest person in the county.
Thank you. Chad?
Hi, Chad Eichen, City of Vancouver Community Development.
Thank you. Kim O'Hara?
Kim O'Hara, just a citizen with a train in my backyard.
All right. Thank you. Eric?
Eric Fuller, Advisory Board.
Amber?
Amber Carter, PBJR.
Thank you. Nancy, you want to try again?
If you try holding down the space button while you speak, that may unmute you.
I can't hear anybody.
No sound at all. I got nothing.
Kevin Tyler, can you hear us?
It looks like Kevin might be muted.
Yeah, he does. I'm going to
Can you hear us now? Okay, let's try that.
Oh, thank you. You got a thumbs up.
Okay, just to reiterate, I guess, is that
closer to the mic.
Since the last meeting, we did have a presentation in front of the Board of County Councilors, and we'll talk about that as we get later on in the session. Today, so I have nothing else
of any
comments. We'll go right into the various activities. Bruce, you
want to
talk about the
TDGR? Yeah, I'll keep it brief. No accidents, injuries, or issues in the last couple months. Been quiet. Traffic levels remain steady, although nationally rail traffic is down. We haven't seen that here locally, but usually it's an indicator of things to come. So hopefully the economy stays with us. Haven't had any big projects or anything going on over the last couple of months. Did have KPFF, the bridge folks out last week and a couple of weeks prior to that to finish and conclude the bridge inspections. And we should see a report here shortly. Assuming and looking forward to getting some of that grant money allocated to go north. Other than that, not much to report.
No new customers, no old customers gone or anything?
No, we've got everybody we've had. A few folks reaching out, but nothing that's got any traction at the moment. But we're out beating the street every day to try to secure some.
There's
a bit of a lull in the traffic at this point in time. Correct. Okay, thank you. BYCX. Thanks, Dan. Since July, we've had train robbers wandered back through again in August. We have pretty full cars on that. As far as track, I did take out KPFF engineers to Bridge 20 to inspect it. There was a bridge inspector came from Chicago to look at it. He didn't really give the bridge blowing remarks after climbing all over it. But we'll see what comes out of their report. Also met with the tunnel inspectors from KPFF that were up in tunnel number one looking at it as well on the same day. So we got them all together and we had a nice chat. Last Friday, some of us, myself, Will Pickering, our one of our board members and one of the senior members on in our group, met with Nate and Eric up at Chalachi just to kind of get a thumbnail of what their upcoming activities are going to look like and where we need to move cars from and to. We have a lot of cars stored on the main track, but we're going to have to move. We've made arrangements with the Kravis family to store stuff on the classification tracks on their property. And we've kind of talked among ourselves what work we have to do. We probably have a couple days to clear out the brush to get down to where those storage tracks are so we can start moving stuff down there. We have some, the steam engine, we thought we were going to have it out in the end of July, early August, because the 1472 inspection is a calendar year inspection, not every 12, it doesn't start when you, the year starts when you put the first tube in the boiler. And so our steam group has decided to wait until 2024 to finish up that project so we get a full year. We could get it back on track probably in November, but then that would count, 2023 would count as a full year on its 15-year cycle. So for a matter of economics, we're just going to wait and start on it in the early 2024 and put it out on the tracks as soon as we can for service. Let's see, we've looking last month, things. We're still kind of on hold about the maintenance building. Our group did have a special meeting, our board, regarding the lease documents from BBJR. We're going to talk about those again tonight. Hopefully get the, Eric has asked that we, anything that we're uncomfortable with in his boilerplate lease, that we mark up, and we'll have Mark Hansen, our attorney, look at it and then send it up to Eric. Because it is, Eric said that lease is old, that document's over 20 years old, and it doesn't really pertain to us, and there's some things that maybe are restrictive on our operation. So anyway, we're working with, we're trying, the first thing is try to get the rail or the tie donation agreement settled. Our attorney did come up with some alternative wording for us because we are a nonprofit. So we would be able to accept the ties on the county's behalf. So again, we're working on that as well. That meeting is tonight for us. Other than that, we have some basic maintenance work we'll try to get done before the rainy weather comes. Although we've been doing minor track work, and we have a car that we have to fix a leaky roof on, and that's going to be this weekend. So other than that, that's about all I have. Anybody have any questions for BYCX?
My brother walked out the tracks and he noticed a number of, looked like at least one old steam engine that's in pretty bad shape. You guys intend to ever try to restore that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're, every car has an owner up there, and volunteers can keep their equipment, active volunteers can keep equipment on the tracks. There are projects up there that we're working on. We can only just work on one thing at a time. And we're going to have a kind of restricted area to work on once PBJR starts their commercial operations up there, because we'll be taking some of our track and converting it to roadway. At least that's the plans at this point. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Kevin, can you talk about county activity?
Yes. So on the county side, we have several grants that we're working to administer, so that those grant numbers are shown on screen here. GCB 3592 is the grant that's 2.7 million, and then GCB 1249 is the grant that's $500,000. So among the $2.7 million grant, we have two things currently in process. We've hired OTAC Engineering to help us put together bridge repair plans for the timber trestle bridges. They have been through survey and are working on the repair plans now. We're supposed to have 90% plans and cost estimate this month. So by the end of this month is their targeted, their tentative deadline. And then also under that same grant, in combination with GCB 1249, there's money available for roadbed rehabilitation. We put out a request for proposals and worked through the process to rank those and come to select the most qualified consultant, and now we're working on negotiating a contract with that consultant. I'm not able to share with you who that is at this point. That information will become public when we go to council to request approval of the contract, and that should be within the next month, give or take. Once we have that firm under contract, they will be working on determining the extent of roadbed rehabilitation work from Battleground northward. and how far we can make that grant funding go. The 90% cost estimate for the bridge repairs will help inform that future work as well. Lastly, the bridge management plan update, you heard from Randy and from Nathan that we've had inspectors out. So the first round of inspections were supposed to happen earlier in August, and those were canceled due to the hot weather. Apparently it's difficult to inspect bridges when it's over 100 degrees, and I would agree with that. So they came back at the end of August and performed bridge inspections on the two urban bridges, the one over I-5 and the one over Highway 99, so those are complete. At the same time, we had WashDOT do some removal or covering over of the graffiti on the I-5 bridge, so hopefully that looks a little bit nicer right now. And then the bridges, I think bridges 18 and 20 and then the tunnel have been inspected. I think they also got up and did 25.
25. They were out to 25.
Yeah.
25 is an easy one. You can drive right up to it.
So the remainder of the bridges will be done, we think, later in September or in October, depending on KPF's FF schedule when they return. I'm still waiting for a draft of the bridge management plan that's supposed to come here in the next couple of months. And they're also working on load ratings for a handful of those bridges.
Who's doing that bridge management plan?
KPFF.
Didn't John have a plan for the bridges? Is that just being updated? Or
yes. Yeah.
To do a new plan.
Yeah, John had a plan in 2015, 2014, somewhere in that time frame. And we were audited by the FRA at the end of 2022. And based on that audit, there were several recommendations that they asked us to do to update the plan. So that's what KPF is currently working on.
Okay. That it?
That's about it for now. Any questions?
Okay, we'll move on to the bylaws update. I have finally gone through what Kinkash has done by pulling all of our comments together, and it's come up with a new draft, and I read it, and I am in agreement with it, and I think we've got everything in there that we need to have in there. And so I'm going to ask Kent to work with Kevin and get that finalized, and then we'll present to the board. Hopefully we'll get that done by next meeting and present it. Final draft of the bylaws to the full board, we can vote on them at that point. The next thing is the, I was hoping John was going to be here. I hadn't heard from him. I've been busy with personal matters and haven't really devoted much time to this since we did our presentation. We had our work session with the Board of County Councilors, and I think we went off pretty well and got several questions and comments from the board at that time. I think the full text of the recommendation in our presentation is online, and I think Kevin sent that to you to look at. Hopefully you all looked at it, but we basically recommended the same thing that we had talked about before, which was to adopt the 1 mile limit and modified from what the FRDU committee had done to take out some of the highly parcelized parcels that were captured in there and delineate it a little better, and also showed where the laggard properties were on that map. And there's, I think there's about 700 acres of laggard property in a total of 1,200 to 1,500 acres of land that we recommended in that parcel. There's a few, maybe a couple hundred acres at most, that's a laggard owned or controlled property that's outside that boundary, that still is attached to some of the properties that are inside the boundary, so they could be brought in. And recommended that they adopt the development standards that were recommended by the FRD committee, and recommended that they adopt the development standards with sewer included. And then the thing that I came kind of surprised us is that when we did the final analysis of what that property meant to the county, if that property were fully developed by the county, total of 1,500 acres, including the part that's already adopted by the county, that would increase the property taxes by approximately $16 million annually. Of course, that doesn't get developed immediately. It gets developed over a number of years. So, maybe 8-10 years later, it gets to that $16 million, which is a significant boost to the county tax base. Anyway, that's our presentation to them. There's a copy of it, I think, back there is a letter that is ultimately sent to the county manager that was as a result of another meeting that the board had with the planning department. And the board gave them marching orders to develop the regulations, including heavy industrial uses, and doesn't say, but I presume that's development regulations based on what the FRDU committee came up with, because all of those standards were at least equal to or greater than the standards of development by the county. They opted to not expand the map at all, so it will be just that little up to 400, I think it's around 400 acres that was adopted, or I think 18 or 19, whatever was adopted. So that's all the property that's going to be adopted. They at this point rejected our recommendation of the 10 mile or the 1 mile order. They are going to amend the comprehensive plan to allow for the sewer, and they will update the public participation plan, I assume, which will be additional meetings with public to get feedback and comments on what they're doing. So that's where we stand at this point in time. Given to add to that, Kevin, I know you went to the meetings, but I did not go.
No, I don't. Community planning is driving this one, so my involvement is limited.
Okay, any questions? Did not include any expansion of the development of freight rail use above the Fresh Prairie area either, including in the upper line, which we recommended in our presentation. Yes.
Dan, I wondered what the current tax basis is now. You said you mentioned $16 million would be if the property was fully developed in the future. What was the current amount,
The current amount of the property that we looked at was roughly 1,500 acres. Was about $350,000
of
taxes. Yes, and the amount of taxes to be received from property, if it were developed and taxed on the same basis as some of the older properties that are now in industrial development, like Frito-Lay and a couple others. There are newer properties that have come online that are being taxed at a much higher rate than that. In some cases, almost double that rate. So the $16 million is the low end of the tax base. The taxes, the increase in taxes that would be derived from this into industrial land, it would be probably substantially higher.
That that could be a game changer for the whole county, really.
Yes.
Got to that level, there's no doubt about that.
How is that number affected by reduction of 400 acres?
Very little. And there's, that acreage is being taxed as.
No, I mean, I assume the 16 million was on, I assume the 16 million estimate was on the larger number that you were recommending, and the council decided to.
It's actually over 16 million. I subtracted the amount of tax base from that, that's existing now in that, which is around, it's less than half $1 million of taxes.
Okay, but you know.
16 and a half million if you did it. So if you subtract half $1 million from the 16 and a half, you get 16 cents.
That wasn't my question. My question is the lesser number of acres that was a 400 acres versus 700 acres.
I guess it would be a similar ratio.
Okay, so 4/7 of the 16 million then. 400 versus 700. You said 700 was in your recommended acres.
1,500 acres. Oh.
And they have adopted 400 acres?
Right.
So one quarter of it, roughly. All right. Thank you.
Yes.
I sat in on that meeting. I thought you and Job did a great job of the presentation. My impression was we had three of the counselors who were supportive and two were somewhat skeptical. What happened that came with such a restricted decision?
I don't know. Maybe Mr. Young or Kevin can. I did not sit in on that meeting that was held with the planning group.
Well, I think the council had a discussion in council time with community planning presenting. That was Oliver or Jaco and Jose Alvarez. And there was a vote to move forward with these directions to the planning department at this time. So this is the understanding that the planning department got out of that meeting was to move forward with these items.
What was the vote? How did the vote break it down?
It wasn't a vote because it's council time. So I think they needed, I think they got thumbs up from 3 out of 5.
I worry that this is something that's more staff driven than, you know, one of the problems I think in this county is too often the planning staff drives things rather than the councilors.
Well, this was the original recommendation by county staff was this small portion that was within 500 feet of the track and restricted to a very small segment of the track. That was the original plan that they came up with. The FRDU committee came back with a more expanded plan than that. And I have to tell you that the FRDU committee support for that was not just the railroad people supporting it. There were other members of that group that were supporting that expanded grant, that some of them might have wanted a slightly smaller, but they understood the necessity to get Lagler property all included in there. And I'm concerned that a big piece of that 400 acres that's approved right now is Lagler property. And it's my understanding that Lagler can't sell that piece of property by itself without selling its entire land mass. So it's going to be difficult to develop that area because Lagler represents a good chunk of that 400 acres. So I'm not the guy driving the bus on that one, so.
It doesn't seem like a very transparent process to me. When this group comes in with a recommendation and the county takes a position that's so different than our recommendation, and we don't understand the process of that, how that happened.
I don't know if you want to share his information, please.
It wasn't planned out, but I'll just give my recollection of the history. I think a couple months ago, it was brought to us in workshop form or something, and we actually, I think it was unanimous or very close to unanimous, we made recommendations that were fairly significantly different than the original recommendation. And then when we came back in council time a couple weeks ago, there was a recommendation brought forth by one or two of the council members to go closer to what the original recommendation was, and that's what ended up happening. So as far as transparency, I can only speak for myself as a counselor, but we take everything into consideration, especially the hard work that comes out of this group. And it's a tough decision to make, but we weigh all things one against the other when we make those decisions. So I certainly can't speak for the other counselors and how they landed on this issue. So hopefully that helps you just at least with the history.
Well, it's frustrating for those that want to see some development in North County. It seems to be such a non-transparent process, and then our views are not being considered.
I assure you that I consider them very heavily. Again, I can't speak for the other counselors. I would say they probably do, but I can't speak for them. So,
it's my understanding I was not privy to that information in detail, but there was a presentation by the UBJR people a week before we presented our recommendation. And their recommendation was to go forward with the smaller parcel.
Dan, back to me.
Sure.
I feel a little compelled to respond, probably because I'm a public employee as well. But our job is advisory, and we did that, and we presented that advisory recommendation to that panel. Talking about transparency and a lack of transparency is a very serious charge against elected officials. We are staff of the county and other public agencies. Their intent is to drive policy. That's what they've been hired to do, is to develop positions and present those to the councils or commissioners or whatever the leadership is. So yeah, that is in fact what you do. It's those councilors' decision to vet that on their own and make a decision if that is something you might want to go forward with or not. So I'm challenged. Concerned about making transparency accusations on an advisory.
I'm a PUD commissioner.
Okay.
We make our decisions in public meetings, and the public had a full opportunity to sit in those meetings and hear that discussion. So I don't see that same process taking part in case on the county council.
Well, Jim, if I may, there were at least three work sessions that I'm aware of with council, and then this. The Railroad Advisory Board meeting, one of those work sessions on this subject, and then the council time discussion occurred a week after the work session. So all that information is, you know, published on the county website. People, they just like the PUD, those meetings occur on a regular basis at the same time. And so all that information was available on the website.
Well, I'm a very interested party. I was not aware that these discussions were taking place. I didn't have therefore did not have the opportunity to sit in on those sessions. And for those of us in North County, I think we already feel like we're abandoned and that nobody pays attention to us. And this seems to be a process that's not taking into account significant portions of the county population.
You mind if I just chime in real quick? So thank you for that feedback. And I think that if this group wasn't aware of that, my sincere apologies, and I'll make sure and make sure that there's better communication. There needs to be better communication between departments so that whenever this issue is brought up, you know, the community development side, that this group is made aware. So I will definitely talk with the county manager, make sure that communication takes place in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have loved to have sat in on those sessions.
Anything else? Okay, so we've gone over the what's happened with the work session and the next steps. I just read you, there's a copy of this in the back. That's apparently just the next steps. And if you want to follow along with it, I assume that they'll come back with their interim recommendations as to how they move forward in implementing this brief outline they have right here. And, you know, I'm hoping that they do the development regulations as prescribed by the FRDU committee rather than go back to the drawing board and start over again. And then obviously they have to make an amendment to the comprehensive plan to include the sewer in the FRDU. I couldn't find it, but I thought I had an email that basically concluded that some of the people in opposition to sewer and the FRDU implementation was allowable and that should not be a problem going forward. So I don't know. Do you remember seeing that, Kevin?
No, I'm not aware of that. I mean, I know that it appears that there's directions for community planning to evaluate that, that both the use of the extension of sewer and options without. So it appears that that's something that community planning will be working on.
All right. Do you have any testimony from the public that anybody in attendance that wants to make a statement or interject anything?
If you're online and you'd like to speak, you can raise your hand or take yourself off mic and identify yourself, or off mute and identify yourself. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands raised. Anybody here in the building?
The question is what again?
Public testimony. Is there anything that you'd like to share with the Railroad Advisory Board this evening?
Any other information you want to get?
I think I'd pertain directly to this. Do you know, Dan, when the actual...
Speak on the mic.
Oh, sorry. Do you know, Dan, when actual public testimony is going to happen?
No, I don't know. That will likely be included in their plan because that was the last item on the list.
Last item on the list is to update the public participation plan. So community planning will come up with a plan for how they're going to engage the community on this, in this work that they've been directed to move forward with.
That haven't been established yet. Is that what you're
correct.
Saying?
Certainly hasn't been published. It's been talked about. It's not published yet.
Is the discussion about community engagement kind of a discussion of figuring out how best to approach it amongst the advisory board or specific parties within that, or is it just kind of a coming up with a game plan?
They will come up with a plan of what group will be most affected by it, and they will then expand beyond that group to some extent. But have a public hearing and present the development plan as revised. Once the board approves this plan, they will then present that to the community. So it'll be an open house in a public forum, which they'll present it, and then they'll leave it open for questions from the public, comments from the public at that time.
Okay, thank you.
Community planning will you know, look at the various tools that are available for getting information out to the community, whether that's through the website, social media, you know, public hearings, open houses, things of that nature, and then decide on what's the best way to move forward. You know, presentations and settings like this, all those are, I think, open options.
And just so that I'm clarified on it, I guess it, this is in regards to the overall future development of the entirety of the railroad from, or just certain sections?
It would just be certain sections. Yeah, so
it'll be concentrated on this 400 acres that they've already approved as freightware dependent use property, and how it's to be developed and how it goes forward.
Okay. Well, that's certainly, yeah, we need a photographer. I might have somebody.
Nothing else? Anything for the good of the order? Do you have something else you want to say?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is something that the only thing I would add is that a number of us, including Stephen next to me, are proceeding with the notion that certain folks that might be interested, we're hoping to set up a tour that would be of some substance, and we're working on assembling a little packet of photographs that anybody that would be going on the tour would be able to have and so forth. And we'll kind of keep you posted as to the timing, and we'll actually look for feedback from whoever might be inclined to go to give us feedback about their availability too.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Anybody have anything? Do you want to say anything else?
I already said too much.
Well, I think we're lucky.
Looks like Chad has something to.
Chad.
Go ahead, Chad.
Hi, everybody. Wow, look how big I am on the screen there. I wanted to introduce Maggie Dirk to all of you. Maggie is one of our new senior transportation planners.
We're not getting anything from you on audio.
Oh, you're not hearing anything?
It might be related to the phone system going out on us.
He looks like he's muted on there on his own.
Can you try and unmute yourself?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, sorry, we're not getting anything.
Okay.
I think he's introducing his new person I did get.
No. We can hear him out here.
I don't know if you recall that Chad was filling in for the city until they hired someone.
There you go.
So Chad's introducing Maggie Dirk as the new transportation planner. And I apologize for the audio. It seems like people online can hear you speaking, Chad and Maggie. Just we in this room can't because the phone system went out on us. So we seem to be able to get audio into the meeting. Can't hear anything outside. So thanks for letting us know. Should be taking over before you move forward. I'll be in touch with you, Maggie.
All right, anything else?
Yeah.
Okay, do I hear a motion for adjournment?
I move to adjourn.
Second. Been moved and seconded to adjourn. Any objection? We're adjourned.